Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Hey, welcome to Missionize. We're glad that you've joined us for this final episode of the year. And with that, let me say Merry Christmas, because this particular episode, Clint, is scheduled to drop on Christmas Eve.
All right.
So Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. And congratulations, Clint. This is the conclusion of year number two.
Year two, yes.
For Missionize. Yeah. How about that?
I guess we're in our terrible twos now, right?
Starting next year. We can start acting up in year number three,
there
right?
There we go, yeah.
Hey, one thing as Southern Baptists that December means for us is that is the month that we stress, emphasize, prioritize international missions through our International Mission Board with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and week of prayer. Now, many of our churches have already taken up their offering. They have shown some videos. They have told some stories. They may have had a missionary come in to share with the congregation to make that connection. Let me tell you a little bit about this previous year. We've received the International Mission Board report. Pleased to announce that in 2024, Southern Baptist churches, under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, gave $207.2 million to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Now, this year, our goal is $210 million for Lottie Moon. 100% of that money goes to support our missionaries wherever they served among the unreached around the world. Now, this past year in 2024, these are the numbers I'm going to give to you. I love stats, so these are some great statistics as far as I'm concerned. We had 3,577 missionaries who were supported through that $207.2 million offering with comprehensive care. They served among 1,915 unique people groups that they engaged with the gospel. And what is really cool is this past year in 2024, our missionaries supported through Lottie Moon and Cooperative Program were able to engage 109 new people groups because of the initiative that's called Project 3000 in large part. 1.6 million people heard the gospel. 144,969 people turned to Jesus for salvation. And our missionaries were able to witness 68,828 baptisms. I love sharing those stats with the church and with our listeners as well. Because it's missions that brings us together as Southern Baptist. Yeah. Now, today, our guests for this last episode of 2025 are recently retired IMB missionaries Kimberly and Randy Windham. Welcome to Missionize, guys. We're glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Yes.
Clint, I met Kimberly just recently. She was part of our volunteer team that came together to assemble the Lottie Moon Christmas offering materials that we were able to mail to our churches. We had a room full of volunteers that day, and I think we finished packing in record time. We're going to mark that up to the absence of Randy Garrett from that room, who is our director of disaster relief. See, every time Randy shows up, there's a disaster that comes with him.
Yeah.
So we were able to finish in record time. And because of that, we had some time that it was like, we're going to get finished way before lunch arrives. We want to keep these people here. And so I went and talked to Kimberly and said, would you share some of your experiences with our volunteers? what a cool experience that here we are packing Lottie Moon Christmas offering promotional materials, and we get a recently retired IMB missionary in the room with us who is sharing what they have experienced on the field. It just added to the day, Clint.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the icing on the cake, the beautiful bow on the package. It was great. So thanks, Kimberly, for sharing with us.
Hey, let's just add that if you're listening and you didn't get your package, It's somewhere. At the post office, whoever gets your mail did something with it. So find that. And those prayer guides give a great picture of how the Lord's working. And then, of course, give some prayer points of ways we can pray specifically. But gives us a great picture of how the Lord's using Southern Baptist, how he's using Arkansas Baptist to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. And one thing I'd add to that as well, Clint, is that we base the number of promotional materials, those prayer guides and other materials you find in your packet, upon ACP numbers.
Yeah.
So if you did not fill out an annual church profile to let us know what those average weekly attendance is at your church, then you just received a very small packet that would have one prayer guide, a letter, a poster. You know, that would be all that you get. So if you're wondering, hey, why did I just get this? It's because someone did not fill out ACP.
So
and we need you to fill out your ACP so we can get the precise number of promotional pieces for Lottie Moon and other offerings.
So 6 minutes in, we have already pushed Lottie and ACP. Hey, I guarantee there's not another podcast that
I'm
does
telling
this.
You, how many goals can we check
That's
off
right.
for that one,
yes.
brother? Now, sad thing is, there's only two people listening.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, we're going to have some time in just a few minutes to hear some of the experiences of Randy and Kimberly. But first, let's get to know them a little better. So, guys, would you take a few minutes here, share with our listeners important things about yourself, your family. Just let us get to know who you are. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, Kimberly.
Yes, I was. I'm glad to be here this morning. Thanks for having us. I was born in Pine Bluff, and then we moved to Little Rock when I was 2, and I was in Little Rock until I was 11, and then we moved to Springdale and graduated from Springdale High School and University of Arkansas, and that's where we met. My mission, call to mission, which I'll talk about in a little bit, actually started in Little Rock, and so that's exciting that we're back, you know, back here serving God. And then we have 4 children. They're all grown. Our journey to Africa was kind of a second career. And so we had 2 that were at university age, and then we took our 2 youngest teenagers with us.
And what was your life like, vocation, whatever, prior to IMB?
I was on staff at a church in Texas as a Mother's Day Out director.
Okay.
I had a degree in education, and he went to seminary down there, and then I just mostly stayed home with my children. It was
And that prepared you well for taking care of missionaries later
right,
on.
Right, right, yes.
Randy, what about you, man?
Well, I was born and raised in Springdale, Arkansas. I wasn't raised in a Christian family, and my mom would make my brother and I go to church with my grandmother as little kids. I was rambunctious and rebellious, not to the point of drinking and drugs, stuff like that, but I just wanted to have my way and throw a temper tantrum if I didn't get my way. And reflecting back, I think my mom made us go to church. She probably thought, can't do anything with this kid, maybe church can. And so I got to where I hated church. And my grandmother's church, then in my mind, and you know, growing up, I thought, there's a lot of really old people here. There's no young people. And no Sunday school. And so I just hated it. And so in 10th grade, I remember in biology class, a couple of girls were talking, sitting behind me and my best friend. So we turned around and started talking to them. They said, hey, why don't you come to a church? And in my mind, all churches are alike, you know. And so I went with them. It was First Baptist Church, Springdale, now Cross Church. And I thought, well, I'll go. And so I went to Sunday school, and the youth minister was the Sunday school teacher. He said, how many of you know for sure that you'll go to heaven when you die, that you know you're saved? And so I thought, well, I don't want to be the only one to not raise my hand. So I raised my hand. It was just like I had a ton of bricks on my hand. I had to shove it up. I did. And then there was a evangelist preaching in worship. And so when he was talking in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think around verse 3 or 4, talking about the end times, and he said, during the end times, you know, and when he read Scripture, one of the sins was disobedient to parents. And when he read that, it pierced my heart. I thought, that's me. And so he gave an invitation. I went forward and accepted Christ. And well, I'll tell you, I was transformed.
Then. Awesome. Wow. Wonderful.
And just kind of went around me, had a love for the Lord. And every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, I was there in church. And so that just, and so in high school, it was just, like I said, a transformed life. And then didn't really have a plan for my life, anything, just whatever job I could find, you know. And so at one point, after Kimberly and I got married, I guess we've been married for a year or two, and I started, a friend said, hey, we're looking for an assistant manager of this jewelry store. So I got into jewelry and managed jewelry stores and did that for about 8 years. And I had been running from God. I went to a Christian college, Northeast Arkansas, Williams Baptist College. It was Southern Baptist College then. And I felt God's call in the ministry. I thought, nah, God can't use me. You know, what in the world do I have to say that's worth listening to? So I ran for 8 years. And when I was on a break in the jewelry store, I went to the break room for no reason at all. I said, Randy, you need to preach. And guys, I tell you what, when I said that, I had God's peace surge from the top of my head through my body and out my toes. I've never experienced anything before or since then. I thought, okay, Lord, I get it. And when I was at Williams or Southern Baptist College, they had a class, pastoral counseling, and that professor was incredible, Dr. Mack. And just being around him, I mean, being in class was like being in group therapy. You know, it was so wonderful. And anyway, when I realized Lord's calling me into ministry, I thought, okay. And in my mind, I thought, well, the only thing I know to do is pastor a church. So I sent off catalogs to three of the Baptist seminaries, and Southwestern's the only one that had one in marriage family counseling. I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to be like Dr. Mack. And so I went there and got my master's in marriage family counseling and master's in religious education. So the Lord has given me a chance through the years to use my counseling skills to help people. And now I'm in the chaplaincy program at Baptist Health. And just, to me, it's living a dream.
Yeah,
you know,
awesome.
And visiting patients, they're sick, they're hurting, they're dying. But even spending would be 30 seconds or an hour with them, I told my colleagues, I said, you know, it's however long I'm with them, it's a privilege to walk with them during this portion of life, and it truly is. But just following God's call, being the center of His will, is what I've sought, you know, most of my life, particularly now, being the center of His will and just experience the joy of His salvation.
Awesome. Clint and I both have connections with Williams. Clint is a graduate. While he was going to school there, I was pastoring First Baptist Walnut Ridge.
Yes,
and had the awesome privilege of having as members Dr. Williams and Miss Beatrice. Mm-hmm. Just wonderful, wonderful folks, and several others from the faculty there. Just a great school, great school.
Yeah, I'm grateful for my time there. And as a senior, I was encouraged to find a local pastor, an elder, to pour into me. And so it was Dr. Sam, you know. So we won't go into that. But you talked about just the responding to the call of God upon your life. Tell us how that the journey was that led to IMB. You know, how did God shape your heart to hear and respond to that calling from where you were at that time?
Okay, I'll put this in order. I'll let Kimberly go first.
Okay. Well, when we lived in Little Rock, when I was 8 years old, I grew up Presbyterian, but my mom took me to Emmanuel Baptist. I guess it was downtown, and Rachel Saint spoke, and her brother Nate Saint was one of the missionaries mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. was killed in Ecuador with Jim Elliott, and so I met her and heard her testimony, and I thought I had been recently saved, and I just thought I want to be a missionary, and really didn't do much with that later. When I was a teenager, I had gone on a mission trip, and I thought that same thing, you know. So I went forward, and they really didn't know what to do with it. So, so we got married, and when he decided, you know, he was going to be a master jeweler and going through all this training, and we decided to go to seminary. And so I thought, well, that must have been the call to be a pastor's wife, or you know, to be on mm-hmm. on. You know, support him in that. And so we lived in Texas, we lived in New Mexico, finally moved to Missouri, and started, Randy will tell more about this, but started a biker church. And we were church planters, really didn't know what we were doing, but we look back and know that we did a lot of things. The Lord helped us do things correctly. And so I also went on another mission trip to Nigeria. It was my first overseas. And I just came back homesick. I thought, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be, you know, a missionary that called us was still in my life. And then I went the next year to Egypt, and then the next year to Morocco. And so I was telling him all along, you know, I feel like I'm called to missions. And he didn't feel that. We were doing missions. We really didn't, you know that.
Exactly.
And so I just thought, okay, well, maybe I'm just supposed to go on mission trips, you know? So you want to go ahead and...
Yeah. Yeah, that biker church we started, it started because a woman was murdered, and we went into biker bars and tattoo shops. I didn't see it as doing missions at the time, but it was. So when Kimberly went on these trips, she came back and says, I'm called to missions. I didn't say it because I wanted to sleep in my own bed, but I thought, good for you, I'm not. and so anyway, she just had that call. And because I remember when I went to First Baptist Church, Springdale, Arkansas, I was about a year old in the Lord, been saved for about a year, and the pastor brought an IMB missionary from West Africa to preach. The only thing I remember from that day was where he was from and walking out the church, out the front door. I don't remember what he said. And I looked up and I said, Lord, please don't ever call me to Africa. 35 years later, he did. Mm-hmm. And so Kimberly came back with this call, and I still didn't think I was doing missions working on bikers. But, of course, I think most people have heard and maybe gone through experiencing God, Henry Blackaby. And so I was looking at experiencing God as couples for he and Marilyn. And I thought, I'm going to look this over and see how I can use it in the church, this biker church I was pastoring. And, of course, it's VHS tapes at the time. Mm-hmm. And the first segment on this first...
You know what VHS tapes are.
Yeah. I've seen those in museums.
Yeah. Yeah, we're relics. And so that tape, the first tape, the first segment, Henry Blackaby said, if God has called your spouse as a child to do something and they've not fulfilled it, it's up to you to help them do that. Mm. And I literally rewound that 30 times and watched it again and listened to it. And I thought, am I hearing what I think I'm hearing? So I sat on it for about 5 months, and then I shared it with Kimberly. I said, what am I supposed to do with this? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, who in the right mind wants to leave the United States and go live in another country? And she said, well, won't you go on a mission trip? And so I did, with the church that I used to be on staff at, and went to the Middle East. And I went as a counselor. We ministered to the name North African Middle East, you know, personnel. Mm-hmm. And we didn't focus on the Nationals at that time. But I went and did that and came back. I thought, wow, I'm ready to go again. And so 50% of my call was helping Kimberly fulfill hers. And so we applied with IMB. It was a lengthy process. And share with them what I would share with you guys.
And I think also because we had been in Southern Baptist churches, and I had gone to WMU, different churches that we were at. I taught Mission Friends and directed Girls in Action. You know, I mean, my girls were in GAs and boys were in Royal Ambassadors, that it was just a given that we would apply with, you know, IMB. We didn't want to have to raise funds, for one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, well, this is ideal. You know, this is wonderful.
Yeah. You know, how many lives, Clint, have had the total trajectory changed by listening to Experiencing God?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's incredible.
Changed my life.
And it continues to do that as well, Randy. Continues to do that. Unbelievable how God has used Henry Blackaby over the years. And just simple things like you said, you know, with a spouse and the calling and, you know, discovering where God is at work and joining him there, mm-hmm. you know, not asking God to bless our efforts, but find out what God is blessing and join him in what he's already doing, you know. And when you go on a mission trip, you discover that God is there and he is doing a work here. Mm-hmm. And God just wraps your heart around that. You know, we have right now some almost 3,700 missionaries through the International Mission Board serving the unreached people of the world. And Dr. Chitwood reminds us that at no time in the history of IMB do we have as many potential missionaries in the pipeline mm-hmm. than what we have right now. So we give God praise for that. But those missionaries serve in a variety of roles. You know, each of us probably have an idea, you know, in our mind when we hear the term missionary, who that is, what they do. But there are so many roles across the IMB with missionaries. So Kimberly, Randy, share with us where you have served and in what role you have served with the IMB.
Okay.
We did an ISC term, International Service Corps, in Botswana, and is where we first started.
Go ahead and take a moment, just for those who may be listening that aren't familiar with the International Service Corps, and just explain a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's not a career. It's a short term, usually two years, and for whatever reason, maybe you're not don't have the education. For us, it was teenagers. They weren't, you know, they want to make sure it's kind of a test run, right. You know, and so we had teenagers, and that's a tough time of your life, you know, but our kids had been doing this missions with the biker church, and so they just got it, and they were excited, and they did well, so. That's just one way that you can go. There's just many different ways to go with IMB. You know, if you don't want to put make it a career, then you can, you know, do short term. Mm-hmm. But that's how we went. A lot of people that I've met started out with the ISC term. And so
where did you serve with ISC?
In Francistown, Botswana.
Okay, Botswana.
And so IMB is really good about recognizing how important your family is, and because we had teenagers with us, the job description was for Randy, you know, doing Bible studies and I guess church planting, and we don't know what we were doing, but anyway, but also IMB gives you lots of good training. Mm-hmm. But my role was home and family, and so I did I homeschooled. Our oldest daughter went to a British school there in Francistown, and then I homeschooled our son. And it was, you know, so I was able to, there's another missionary family there with IMB, and I would go with her to Bible studies, mostly for women. So, you know, I had a language helper, and we would go in our neighborhood, and we would go to the school next door. So, you know, I mean, I was out there, but my main focus was my family.
Mm-hmm. And what I did, we did what was called manuscript theology. And what we would do, our supervisors who'd been there 12 years at the time, would go into six different villages. And people who were interested, we would give them a copy of the Gospel of John and then give them a notebook. And what we would say is, okay, what I want you to do, if you want to do this, I want you to copy the complete Gospel of John word for word in this notebook. And so they would do it. We'd meet each week, and however much they copied, would share, okay, what did you learn? And they would share things. And I want to challenge everybody listening. If you have never copied any book of the Bible, then I want to challenge you to do that, because you will see things. Wow. I don't care how much of a theologian you know you may be, but if you're copying Scripture, you're going to see things that you don't see it just reading and studying God's Word. So we would have them do that, and when they copied the entire Gospel of John, then we would give them a Bible and say, now you continue copying. We would meet with them. And so we did that in six villages. I remember one lady's yard, we did that, and just in her yard alone, we gave 200 Bibles, and then plus all the other villages. And I remember this one lady's yard one day, we'd been going about, at that point, about 3 months into her home and her yard and doing this. She said, I want you to talk to my grandmother. And so we went out to a different building behind her house. And anyway, so we shared the gospel, and she prayed to receive Christ. She was 107 years old.
Wow.
And accepted Christ. And I mean, probably about the average age in sub-Saharan Africa, or Southern Africa, is probably for men is about 56 and women's about 58. So there was rare to find someone at that age. And so it was just an incredible ministry. And then after 2 years, we talked to our supervisor, says, we'd like to go career. And then we went to, there again, I didn't want to go to Botswana. That's where God sent us. I didn't want to go to our next assignment, Cape Town, South Africa. That's where God sent us. And I keep thinking, well, maybe if I tell the Lord, I don't want to go to Hawaii. Well, he sent us there. You know? And but we, so for career, we went to Cape Town, South Africa, and had some wonderful ministries there.
And how many years were you served? Did you serve there?
5 years, two years in Botswana, okay. 5 years there.
Okay.
And
we lived in Vancouver as well. And did
for 3 months
training
for training
there, in between.
That was incredible ministry too. And we went there for training. You know, how do you minister in a huge city? Because Cape Town's like 5.8 million people. And so I knew the area we're going to minister, and I knew the people group. But I thought, okay, what platform am I going to do? And so I got to know a lot of the Baptist pastors, and we'd meet each week in somebody's home for lunch and then Bible study. And so one pastor, he was... it was an outpatient drug rehab facility, and it was a Muslim facility. He was teaching non-Muslim clients, and I thought, hey, John, can I go with you to see what, because I had some experience, you know, in working with addicts. So I went, and so I started doing that. I went 2 days a week there, and he and Pastor John just kind of bowed out, and I continued doing that. And so I did that for about 5 years, and it was just an incredible ministry there. And I remember one day, one of the guys, one of the clients came up to me and says, Pastor Randy, I'm trying to decide whether to become a Muslim or a Christian. And, of course, I know what was in my heart. And I said, well, my brother, you need to decide. And anyway, I said... let me tell you why I'm a Christian, not a Muslim. In the Quran, in Surah 46, verse 9, the Prophet Muhammad says, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to you, a follower of Islam. I'm just a plain warner. I said, but in John 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus says that in my Father's house are many dwelling places. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, I'm going to come and receive you, and you'll be there with me. I said, Jesus not only knows what's going to happen, but he has prepared a place for us. And so after class, he came up to me. He says, Pastor, I want to follow Jesus with that. And so some opportunities like that that we had. But it was just a remarkable ministry there, getting to know some of the some Muslim workers there, and some of the clients we became very good friends. And you know, I miss them to this day. You know, so when we left there, it was hard to leave. And then our third assignment was in Lusaka, Zambia. And we planted 18 churches while we were there. There again, it was just incredible because God has always confirmed every place that he called us to go. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind, you know. And so, in fact, Kimberly was on a conversation on Facebook with some friends of ours there in Lusaka, and they'd been there, I think, at the time about probably about 17, 18 years. And we'd met them because we'd gone with training, you know, to Zambia once as participants when we were in Botswana. Twice when we were in Botswana, we went there, once participants and one as logistics. And then when we were in Cape Town, we went again for logistics and was able to go there. Some of the, I tell you, it was the best training we've ever had. When we were working in the villages in Botswana, I thought, how do you go in from scratch and start ministering? And when we went to that training, it was called 40-40, 40 days and 40 nights. So the first half we worked in the city doing urban work. And then the last half we went to the,
rural.
Yeah, rural. And here we call it the boonies or country, but they call it the bush. So we went to the bush and stayed in tents. And then
spent three nights in a Zambian, with a Zambian family.
Yeah, and that's a story in itself. But anyway, we did that. So when I got back from that to Botswana, I thought I know exactly what to do to go into the village, and that really helped us. And so we were able to carry that on through our career in using that. So in Cape Town, I mean in Zambia, when we got there, just in gist, they were looking for. They're in Lusaka, Zambia, looking for a manager of the Baptist International Guest House. And we'd been there a couple of times before, and my wife had even said, oh, I wouldn't mind managing this. And so in this conversation, Kimberly told our friend, says, I wouldn't mind being a manager there. And she said, I'd love for you to be a manager here. And so Kimberly told me about that, and I said, okay, tell him you're serious. So she did. And so her husband, who would become our supervisor, said, okay, let's stop this and go through the proper channels. And we were able to go there. And we had to have our medicals.
We went, but they couldn't really justify us going just to be the guest house manager. Yeah. And so they said, by the way, we have this job on the books since 1994 for a church planter. And so that's the job that Randy filled, you know, because it's,
and what
it'd
were
been
your,
years and years.
What were your responsibilities in that particular role, Kimberly?
In the guest house, I would supervise the workers, the housekeepers, and schedule people who were coming in, schedule cleaning, do all the billing, all the taxes, they didn't call it Social Security, but all their retirement things. Just buying all the supplies and just about anything. At the end, it was starting to remodel. This building had been built in the 70s as a hostel for the MKs.
Yeah.
There's an international school right next door, and it used to be, I guess, that they would go to, but, you know, things change, and most people we had fewer personnel, and they didn't really need it as a hostel or as a boarding school. And so they changed it into the guest house. And we also had our property. On the property were our flat that we lived in, our apartments. And so I just managed all that. And I also, while we were there 8 years, I met some young people who were working with prostitutes. And so Luke, our youngest, had graduated when we were in Cape Town. Is one of the transitions that we thought, well, this would be a good transition time because he's going back to the U.S. He went to Williams. And we moved to Lusaka. And so when I was not really able to do a lot because, you know, I'm homeschooling or whatever, but now we're empty nesters, so I can go out on Friday night at 10 p.m. till 1 or whatever, you know, and just pray for these ladies. And then I also, one of my good friends, Jane Thompson, she's the LC, the logistic coordinator, who we had an office building and our offices were right next to each other, and we did a lot of things together. And I came with her. I had been reading in Matthew, the goats and the sheep, and, you know, where he says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me water, you know. And then there's one part in there that says, I was in prison, you visited me. And I was like, I've never done that. I'm interested in doing that. And so we don't just go, okay, we're going to go to the prison, let's go. But we found a group, and there's a lot of, you know, expats and mm-hmm. people, you know, in the place that you live, you network and whatever. And so we knew there were some young attorneys, and Zambian attorneys, going into the prisons to help juveniles who had been arrested and just help them with, make sure they got to their court dates and that their parents knew where they were and just different things. And so we would go with them the first couple of times, and then our schedules would not work out. And so we just showed up on our own, you know, and they started recognizing us. And that was just a wonderful ministry that I enjoyed just doing. We got into the homeschool closet and got out some Abeka Bible stories mm-hmm. and just used those. Well, actually, I first started out with the old felt, the
felt board?
Flannel board.
Yeah, the flannel board.
Flannel
yeah,
board.
The felt. Okay, you know that. So anyway.
That was in the museum, too.
That was in the museum. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm teasing. And so, I mean, but, you know, part of it, I'm sure, was entertainment, but, you know, yeah. they just had never seen anything like that. And so, but it was very limited. And so then we started using the pictures from the Bible curriculum, which was amazing. So that was just neat to go in and just, it was almost, when we would get there, the guards would like, oh, okay, the Baptist women are here. And we took nationals with us. It's really important. Jane and I started going with just she and I going, and I, you know, the whole point really of your job is to work yourself out of a job so that the nationals are doing this, and they're very capable of doing it. And so we had three or four ladies who would take turns, or you know, some would go every week,
yeah.
and help out, and just, you know, it got to where we would just, the guards would be like, okay, we're going to take a break, and so we're with these ladies. Most of them were in, it was a psychiatric hospital or a psychiatric prison that we had to limit our time because there were so sure. many things to do. And so we went to that one, and most of them were there for murder. But the Lord just protected us. We never really felt scared. So that's one of the things that I, you know, just really, in fact, I think the summer right before we left, I was getting the rooms, along with Jane, getting rooms and things ready for Dr. Chitwood and Michelle and all the group had gone
yeah.
there. And
we had some Arkansas folks who,
yeah.
who,
oh, okay.
who were on that.
Yeah, and so that was yeah, I didn't get awesome. To be there. I didn't get awesome. To be there, but I got help
hey,
get that
let,
ready.
Let's bring it back to where we started with Lottie Moon. And just tell us, what's the impact of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering on you, your family, your ministry? Why is that so important?
Yeah, Lottie Moon provides everything that we need. You know, the first thing is we don't have to go back to the States every 1 or 2 years to raise funds. And through Lottie Moon, we had a vehicle to drive. We had a place to live. We had insurance. Everything that we need is provided by Lottie Moon. And as you said earlier, 100% of what's given to Lottie Moon goes to the missionaries on the field. None of it goes to administration or anything else. But it provided everything for us that we needed to do ministry. And, you know, when our kids are with us, they were taken care of, provided the homeschool material since we homeschooled. Where our youngest son homeschooled, our youngest daughter, she went to an international school, provided the fees to pay that as well. So Lottie Moon just took care of everything for us, and it was just incredible. I can never say enough of how important Lottie Moon is for world missions with the International Mission Board.
Yes, and we just want to say thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you, Arkansas Churches.
Yes, for giving, and it really is a great gift that just keeps, you know, it's not something, you know, at Christmas time, I know the Lottie Moon comes at Christmas time, and maybe people are, you know, they don't think they have enough money, but you think about what you buy your family, are they really going to need it, you know, but if you, you know, give to the Lottie Moon, it's going
to
grow.
Yeah, and what we like to stress are our missionaries are part of our family.
Yes.
This is our extended family. It's who we are as Southern Baptists. So, thank you, Arkansas Baptists, and other listeners for your giving to Lottie Moon.
I think one of the exciting things about that is, you know, the nationals that we've trained, as Kimberly said, you know, we try to work ourselves out of a job. Some of the pastors I work with, they continue on planting churches. So Lottie Moon has, through us, has empowered them to do that. So Lottie Moon continues.
So you've already shared some about what's next. You're at Baptist in the chaplaincy. How can we and our listeners pray for you guys in this next season of life?
Yeah, for me personally, I'd be praying that I'll successfully complete the chaplaincy resident program, the CPE program, and so it's a year long. It'll end in August of next year. It's very intense. It'd be the equivalent of a master's degree, but it's absolutely, just a phenomenal program, ministering to the patients, their families, and the hospital staff. So just that I will have the understanding, discernment, wisdom going through this program.
Kimberly, what would you add?
Just where we don't know where we're going to end up after this. Didn't know we'd end up back in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Full circle here. And just, you know, but while we're here.
I'm glad you didn't say, Randy, that I prayed, Lord, don't send us to Arkansas.
Well, no, I need to. But, you know, just that I'll use my time wisely while we're here, and also where we'll be after he finishes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. To me, the IMB is the crown jewel of Southern Baptist.
Yeah,
and when we think about folks serving, we love hearing the stories. We could go on and on. I could sit here and listen to you guys tell stories of seeing God's faithfulness and him using ordinary people like you. And, you know, we talk about churches planting churches, and that's exactly what you referenced right there at the end, that, you know, just seeing your work continue on. So, you know, not all of us are called to go. We're all called to have a role. But thank you for going. Thank you for answering that call and for representing us to the ends of the earth.
Thank you.
And this Christmas Eve, let us be reminded why we do what we do. Luke records, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
And with that, we'll say Merry Christmas to our listeners, and we'll see you in 2026.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.